Good morning. I was a little surprised, as Ed was, of all the young people, and that's always very exciting for us. And to be able to hold one of them myself, that was very exciting as well, I'll just tell you. We are grateful for all of our visitors, for everyone who's here this morning. We have started our theme this year of growing more in 2024. And so you will see these little invite cards and postcards out in the foyer. And just want to remind you again to please go and grab one of those, drop it off, leave it somewhere. It's got a QR code on it that has all of our information on the back of it as well. And so, and we're just inviting people to grow like we are. We're just wanting to grow through this year. And so we're going to be studying different avenues and different topics concerning growth. February, this will probably be no shock to you, will be our topic of love we'll be talking about. So we'll be exploring the different ideas surrounding love and God's love for us, our love for one another, and love for the church and so forth, all of those things. But to kind of close out this month, and we've just kind of been talking about growing in general, growth and what that really looks like, what that really means for each of us. And one thing that I want us to think about this morning, especially before we get into the lesson itself, it's just thinking about growth in the sense of, you know, it's sometimes you hear the term growing pains. Especially sometimes our teenagers or preteens, they'll be growing, their body's growing really fast, and so sometimes there's growing pains involved in that. And sometimes even in the Lord's church, there are growing pains as we're growing and experiencing different things. There's sometimes uncomfortableness in our growth. We have to push ourselves out of that comfortable box or comfortable seat that we normally sit in and do some different things in order to grow. And that growth will push us to do some different things as well. And so just be mindful of that as we continue to go through this year and this theme of growing more in 24. I encourage you to find your place in the Lord's kingdom, to find your place here at Eastside, to talk with the elders and with the deacons and find a work that you can get involved in and something that you can help and support and be encouraging to others and grow yourself in that way. I think that you will certainly benefit from that. I know the Lord's kingdom will benefit from your participation in that as well. Some years back, in fact, going back to 2019, I had an opportunity at the Memphis School of Preaching. I'm not sure why we're not getting, there we go. In 2019, the Memphis School of Preaching lectureship, which had always been closed out by Brother Robert R. Taylor Jr., who has passed on now to his reward, but he certainly one of my preaching heroes, if you will, someone that I truly looked up to was he was a Barnabas, he was a gentleman preacher, if you will. Just absolutely loved him and Sister Irene and the work that they did in the kingdom for so many years. But as he was closing out, as he had done so for several decades, closing out the lectureship that year, one of his last, if you will, concluding thoughts to that year, and it was on purity and purity in faith and the purity of the gospel and those kind of things, he ended with these three words, the idea of going, growing, and glowing as a child of God. And so I just wanted to take that thought and expand upon that to kind of close out this month's theme, if you will, the idea of growing. But let's talk about some of these things. When we talk about going, we're talking about taking the gospel to others, encouraging others to learn about Jesus Christ. As Eddie talked about in the Bible class this morning, there's a reason that we want to worship God. There's a reason that we want to honor God, and that is because of the gospel, because He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. And as we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, the gospel by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, the death, the burial, the resurrection, all of those things that had been talked about by the prophets of old now had taken place. And at that point in time, and he says, the gospel, that is the message that must be preached. And so as we think about the Great Commission, especially from the first two verses that you see on the screen, Matthew 28, Mark 16, but there are others, Luke 24, 47 and following, John chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, you'll see the Great Commission, you'll see the idea of going. Why do we go? Well, remember, it's a verb, and for Christians, that verb is important because that is a command for us to go and to teach someone else that good news. The gospel is the good news. It is the greatest news. It is the message of hope for all mankind, and it has to be proclaimed. And in Matthew 28, when Jesus says, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth, go therefore." Go. You have to go with that message. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. And in so doing, this is how you're going to accomplish that. In making disciples, you're going to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you're going to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And we could see the circular idea of this. The apostles, given that command, go into all the world. You make disciples by baptizing those individuals in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then you teach them to do the same things that I have commanded you to do. And he says, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." It is a masterful ending, if you will, and command. We call it the Great Commission, but a command to go and preach the gospel. In fact, that's how Mark words it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to all creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not will be condemned. This is how serious it is. For those who would not even believe the gospel, have opportunity to believe the gospel, they would be lost. They're lost because they're in sin. That's why the urgency to go. That's why the need is there for us to go with this message of hope for all of mankind. In Acts chapter 5, we see a situation that occurs where you have the apostles who have been in prison, in fact, and now they are being released from prison, and a command is given to them, a reminder to go and do the same thing that they've been doing, but it's worded this way: go and speak all the words of this life. You go and you speak those words. Now, they had been arrested for speaking those words, but you go back to the temple is what they were commanded. You go back to the temple and you speak the words of life. And if you go through the book of Acts, that you'll find this is the case over and over, that long before individuals were obeying the gospel, that they had to hear the message, that they needed to hear the words of life. And hence we have that command to go, and why it is so important for each of us to understand that this command is for every Christian is because there is a lost and dying world, lost in sin. They're not going to be lost and not make it to heaven because they didn't hear the gospel. They're going to be lost because they're in sin. Sin is the problem. That's the universal problem that all of mankind has. Romans 3 and verse 23. The answer to that problem is the gospel. And therefore we go. Therefore we go and preach that good news message. That's our responsibility. He's given that to us in this life to go and to speak the words of life. And so number one, we go. Number two, we grow. And this in this responsibility, and we can go back a couple of weeks, and I preached a message about growing and from 2 Peter 3:18, where Peter commands growth, and both 1 and 2 Peter are all about. He's stirring up their remembrance, but it's all involved in growing, growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, you need to do this. You have to do this. You're commanded to do this. You must be growing. And so as we think about those things and talk about the graces, the Christian graces, the Christian virtue, however you want to list those things, those are important. We must be growing in those things. Growing in the fruit of the Spirit. Adding those things into our lives. Following the Lord's teaching on those very things. But I want to give you an example. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 5 together. and in Hebrews chapter 5, and we're talking about Christians in and around the area of Palestine. These were Jewish Christians, so they had the background of the law of Moses, and many of them had lived a part of that. But this congregation, and many of these brethren have been Christians for maybe 30 years at this point in time, by the time that the Hebrews letter is written. We don't know exactly who the author is, but he is well versed, whoever he is, in the Old Testament law, in the law of Moses. But I want you to notice some of the things that are stated here in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. He says, well, let's just back up to verse 11. He says, of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, he says, seeing you are dull of hearing. Now here was the problem. They had become dull of hearing. Some time had passed. Some of the newness of being a child of God had worn off for them. They weren't as excited about it as they used to be. Whatever the case was, he says, you're dull of hearing. I'm having a hard time talking about these things to you and writing these things to you because you have become dull of hearing, he says. But he says, the time has come when you ought to be teachers. Enough time has passed. You're no longer babes in Christ. You ought to be teachers, he says. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You need to have someone come back in and teach you those very foundational things. By the way, this probably in its context has to do with the law of Moses. The law of Moses was that which was the schoolmaster, the tutor, the teacher, if you will, to bring them all the way to the Christ, according to Galatians chapter 3 and 4. Particularly in chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. He says the old law was a schoolmaster. It was like a tutor. And so a Jewish tutor would take those young, especially male children, and those male children would follow the tutor throughout wherever they were going for the day, to where they were going to have their lessons as they walked through the marketplace, and they would follow along, literally walking behind the schoolmaster, the tutor, who then would teach them all things that they would need to be knowing. And that was the old law. That was its purpose. It did just that. But he says, you ought to be teachers. The time has come. You should be teachers. But you have need that one teach you the very first principles, the very oracles of God, looking back at the old law. And he says, and you are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. And the thing that you think about for just a moment with all of these young people and these babies that are in our audience even this morning, they begin on milk, right? That's where it begins with them. They begin with milk, and then they can graduate to some more solid food, and eventually they're eating a steak dinner, right? But it takes some time before they get there. Well, that's understandable, and God understands that. But several decades have passed for these particular Christians, and he says, you have need that one come in and teach you again the very first principles of the oracles of God. And he says, and you need milk. You're not ready for strong meat. Why is that? Everyone, he explains, that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a baby. He's a babe. Strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, those who have matured, even by reason of use, have their senses exercised to determine good and evil. They know the difference for that. And then you have kind of the marching orders here in verse 1 of the next chapter. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, by the way, that would have been those same oracles, those same first things that were learned under the old law that brought them to Christ. He says, leaving those things, let us go on unto perfection, unto maturity. We have a responsibility to be growing toward heaven. That is our responsibility, to go and to grow. And we do so by adding those Christian virtues that we read about in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and following. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, all of those things. You add those things to your faith. The idea of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and self-control, all the fruit of the Spirit, you add those things into your life. Why? Because you're putting off that old man and putting on the new man unto righteousness. It's about change, being transformed. It's about making those changes in our lives and making sure that we have the basis for that growth right here in front of us, always the very Word of God. That's what's going to help us to truly grow as we need to do so. And so we go with the gospel. We grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we begin to glow. We begin to glow. Just like what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5. Let's look together. Matthew 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And remember in chapters 5, 6, and 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, you see Jesus who is on the scene and he is teaching a Jewish audience, those who especially would know God, but he's trying to get them to change their way of thinking, to be prepared for what's coming, if you will, for those changes that were going to have to take place in their life. But he says this, after he goes through the Beatitudes, blessed, 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 rejoice and be exceeding glad, great is your reward in heaven, verse 12, you, he says, are the salt of the earth. And if the salt's lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's good for nothing but to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. But then verse 14, he says this, you are not just salt and have that kind of influence in the world today, but you're the light of the world. You, the follower of God, you, Christian, you are the light of the world. You can light up the rest of the world. Let's talk about what that looks like. Now he says, in explaining this, he says, men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick and it gives light to all that are in the room, right? So as talking about influence, the idea of salt and light here, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You're going to be doing good works in your life as a child of God because you're going out with the gospel. You're teaching others the gospel. You yourself are growing and making strides to be what God wants you to be. You're making those changes in your life. And as you go out there, you're going to be glowing for Christ, so to speak. You're going to shine your light, and other men are going to see that. And it's going to cause others then, seeing your good works in which you're involved, to glorify the Father who is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What an amazing concept when you start thinking about the idea of light. When you think about that for just a moment, we'll look at John 1, but it's much like you have, it's like we're a moon. The moon has no light in and itself, right? But it actually is reflecting the light of the sun. That's how it shows up in our skies. We're able to see that because it's reflecting the light of the sun. In Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, it talks about the sun of righteousness. We, as Christians, reflect that light of the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Himself. And in so doing, the Father in heaven is glorified. Ephesians chapter 3 gives us a picture of the church and the glory of the church and all things that God has brought about. For what purpose? That we might glorify the Father through Christ in the church. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. But let's look at another passage. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2 together. In Philippians 2, and this chapter begins, remember, in verse 5, saying, have the mind of Christ. You need to have the mind of Christ. So he's talking about changes in your life, things that have to change, things in which you are going to be growing in. You need to start thinking like Christ. Well, how was it that he was thinking? Well, he left heaven. He gave up the glories of heaven, right? To come, to be obedient unto the Father, to die for me and for you. And therefore, his name is exalted above all others. But then drop down to verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, he says, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more when I'm absent from you. Work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and complaining, He says, and that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine, among whom you glow, He says, as lights in the world. The opportunity, because of having the mind of Christ, a humility about us, a lowliness about us, where we would esteem someone else much greater than we would look at our own selves. Having the mind of Christ, who left heaven and gave Himself for us. God has highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name. Therefore, you work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son to die for you so that you could be His. So that you could be His. And in so doing, now you each have the opportunity to shine as lights, He says, in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation, He says. That's not just one single generation in the past. That's every generation. And that's because of sin. But as a child of God, you have opportunity to be better than that, to grow out of that. And now to glowing and glowing for Christ, others can see the Father as well. Others can be His as well. Let's turn now to where this really begins. And this is John chapter 1 for us. In John chapter 1. As we think about being the light and influence for others, what's the source? The Son of Righteousness, Malachi 4, verse 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Now pick up this, and you can even underline this if you do so. And the life was the light of men. The life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. In other words, it couldn't stop it. It couldn't blot out that sun, if you will. It couldn't blot out that light. There was a man sent from God, we're told. Verse 6. Whose name was John. This is John the Immerser, John the Baptizer. He says, the same came for witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. So John comes on the scene. He is ahead of Christ. He is the forerunner of Christ. Malachi would talk about that in prophecy as well, making way for the Son of Righteousness. And in so doing, he would bear witness of that light. Okay, let's keep reading. And he says he was not that light, the apostle writes. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. That's why the light came into the world to begin with, so that we could be considered the sons of God, so that we could be saved from our sins, so that we would know the glories of heaven, so that we could have heaven as our home. That's why he came into the world, for that very reason, for that purpose. The Word was made flesh, verse 14, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he goes back and he says, John bear witness of Him, crying, saying, this is He of whom I spoke, that He that comes after me is preferred before me, because He was before me. He was in the beginning, as God, with God, created all things. that we have now before us to enjoy. That's a part of our life. And He came into the world to be that light for the very purpose that we could be the sons of God. And glory be to God that He did so, that He saved us from sin, that He died on that cross so that we could know salvation, that He died on that cross so that we could be sons of God, so that we could have our sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we do so. Jesus Himself taught us the way in the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 gives us that very picture of how we reenact, if you will, the gospel itself. It is by our being buried with Christ in baptism and being raised to walk in newness of life, raised by the glory of the Father to walk in newness of life, a new life in Christ Jesus, created for righteousness, to be transformed, to grow in Him and in His knowledge, to know Him as He is, and to see Him one day face to face, as we've studied throughout this month. This morning, if you have a need, you can obey Jesus. And if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, John 8, verse 24, and would repent of sin, that is to stop and turn away from the practice of sin, turning unto God, Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, God commands all men everywhere to repent, confess His name before men, and submit to Him in baptism, to put on Christ, to be clothed with Christ, to become one of the sons of God. The very purpose Jesus came into this world, to seek, to save that which was lost, and to light the way unto salvation. Can we help you? Can we encourage you in some way this morning? If so, come to the front while we stand and while we sing.